We're now bringing to these microphones David James. Yes, it's that time of the week when we have our conversation, and this time we're going to focus on the upcoming inauguration and the responsibility of believers towards human government. David, this is an exciting time as it relates to the transfer of power from President Obama to President-elect Donald Trump. And as we catch you in the Philippines again this week, I guess you're out there. You're not going to be able to be here to see what happens. Is there a lot of conversation out there about this new president of the United States?
Well, there's certainly interest. As I talk with people about it, they express a lot of interest. And, of course, the United States has a long history with the Philippines, especially in the last century, being involved with World War II and helping liberate the Philippines from Japan. And there's a strong presence. And a lot of the soldiers who were here in World War II came back as missionaries. And there's still a lot of respect for the United States. There's a military base here. Some of the relations have been strained with the current president, and a lot of that has to do with this past administration in the United States, but I think there's optimism going forward with the new administration.
You know, we started talking about the presidential election back in the fall of 2015, and we've had a number of discussions about it over the year. And now we're just a couple of days away from the inauguration. What are your thoughts?
Even after the election results came in, one of the things that I pointed out is that God works through human history, and he works sovereignly, and a lot of the things that he has done in guiding history and ultimately moving history forward to accomplish his plan is laid out in the prophetic scriptures. He frequently does these things through major geopolitical events, and I think this one is one of the most significant of our lifetimes in a number of reasons, both for the United States and globally, including the nation of Israel and things in the Middle East, the rumblings with Russia, with China. It's going to be interesting how this all plays out.
Yes, it's going to be very interesting. And let me say something else that I think is interesting. You have just finished teaching God's Plan Through the Ages, one of the courses that you teach while you're there at the Word of Life Bible Institute in the Philippines. You did that this week, and I think it connects to our discussion about the new leadership in our country in a number of ways.
Well, yeah, I would agree with you on that. You know, I was just one of the parts of the course, they go through the issue of Israel selecting their first king, for example, King Saul, who was not God's first choice. They wanted a king like all the nations, which were actually God kings, pagan gods of their city-state. So it was a rejection of the God of the universe. But even in spite of that, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, we read that God actually chooses Saul to be king, gives them the king that they want, and he says that he'll be anointed and to be a commander of his people. But God also says that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. And then in the next chapter, he actually sends his spirit to so that Saul will become a prophet. So he'll be a king, an anointed king, and a prophet. He's not the right man, but God is going to do what he can to make him successful. We also read in Daniel 2 that God is the one who removes kings and raises them up. He sovereignly works in history. Proverbs 21, I'm teaching Proverbs next week. Verse 1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. So, you know, this does have significant impact, and as we think about God advancing his program in history.
David, I do not want to go too far in our discussion into politics. And I think we can safely say, however, that there are those who are glad to see President Obama leave office. But do you think this possibly leaves expectations too high for Donald Trump or for anybody else, for example?
Well, I think it's very important. I agree. I think it's very important that we don't put too much of our trust in the leaders in any given country. You know, even in the nation of Israel, again, going back to what God did in history, King David said that we should not trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the Lord our God. And we also read in the Old Testament that it's not by power or by might, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. So, you know, President Obama was not the worst leader in all of world history. And at the same time, Donald Trump will probably not, you know, he may not live up to expectations. And every man is fallible. So we need to remember that whatever happens, that ultimately our trust is in the Lord, whether we agree with whoever's in office or not.
Well, I just said that many people will be happy to see President Obama leave office. But on the other side of that coin, we know there are a lot of people who are upset about Donald Trump being elected as president. And some are even threatening to try to shut down the inauguration.
Yeah, there's a self-proclaimed group of anarchists, and they want to turn the inauguration into a riot. And, you know, I've read some reports about what they're planning on doing, but also reports concerning security. I mean, I would say this will probably be the most secure of any inauguration. That doesn't mean that President Trump and others may not be in danger, but they're going to be in the skies. They're going to be on rooftops. They've brought in people from all over the United States. So I hope, you know, that we can go through this in a way that's safe and allows us to move forward without any more disruption.
I guess thus far this discussion leads us then to the question concerning what our attitude should be when we have leaders that we are very strongly in disagreement with. Is there any room for protest or civil disobedience, or, as some would suggest, even violence if things get really bad?
Well, I think as Christians, as believers, we have to be very careful about how we deal with people that we don't agree with who are in positions of leadership. First of all, we do know that with the First Amendment and guaranteed free speech and the guaranteed right of assembly, it is lawful for people to gather together in protest. And so I think that there may be a place for that to exert influence. However, you go beyond that. People sometimes also think that civil disobedience is acceptable for believers. And I think, you know, we're responsible to be submit to those in authority. We are not to break laws, and unless we are being forced or having it imposed upon us to break the laws of God, we are responsible to obey even laws that are unjust. If they don't come into conflict, direct conflict with the law of God, when in that case we have to obey God. But you know, we're expected to be good citizens in our countries. And it's through that, actually, that we can have a testimony of a life that's different than that of the world and even gives us an opportunity to share the gospel.
You know, David, you just mentioned a very interesting phrase. We need to be good citizens. No matter who's in power, should not Christians be the best citizens of any country? I mean, I would think that should be the case. And why don't you just take a moment? How would you define a good citizen from a biblical perspective?
Well, a couple of places I would think about. One is, remember, God is the one who instituted human government in Genesis chapter 9 by instituting capital punishment for the restraint of evil. So he did that for our protection. Jesus, when he was confronted about the issue of paying taxes, he said, you know, you need to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. So we need to understand that we, even things that are not necessarily pleasant, it's something that that we do as good citizens and on the earth in subjection to God. And then in 1 Peter chapter 2, we read this: therefore submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors or those who sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. And then in verse 15, he says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And then it's interesting, he goes on to talk about servants being submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to the harsh. And I think the principle here is that even those leaders who may not be the best, we have a responsibility to submit, because when we submit to human authority, as long as it doesn't go directly against God's word and his plan, then we are actually submitting to the Lord. And that's what it means to be a good citizen.
Yes, that's a great definition of a good citizen, making us then law-abiding citizens. But David, should we not also be praying citizens for our country?
Well, yes, we should. You know, going over to Romans 13, which we've discussed a few times as well as we get into these issues, Paul wrote, let every soul be subject to governing authority. So again, goes back to being a law-abiding citizen, for there is no authority except from God, and whoever resists authority resists in the ordinance of God. So we do that, and for conscience sake. But then, if you go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, we read that Paul also says, I exhort, first of all, with supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, specifically for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And then he says, he talks about the will of God. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So by doing this and praying, one of the first things we pray about is that they might be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, so that they might be good leaders, and we might benefit from that in being able to live quiet and peaceable lives.
David, what would you say are just a few specific things that we should pray for concerning our incoming president and vice president, beyond just saying, Lord, bless our president?
Well, let me just give you some quick things I was thinking about. First, Mike Pence is probably a born-again believer, almost certainly is. Donald Trump, we pray for his salvation, if he's not already a believer, that both would live godly lives and honor the moral law of God. Pray for wisdom, that they would lead in a way that is just and good. Pray that they would remain faithful to the Constitution and the things that have made the United States a great nation in the past. Pray that they would champion the rights of the unborn and biblical marriage. Pray that they would fight to protect freedom of religion and conscience. Pray that they would instill confidence in our friends around the world and fear in our enemies. Pray that they would defend Israel from those who would destroy her, and pray that God would protect them from those who would seek to harm them. I think those are very specific and very important prayer, matters of prayer.
David, I would have to agree with that entire list. It's an excellent list, and I think each and every one of us have a responsibility. The Bible directs us to pray for those who are in higher authority. Well, David, I think this was a great discussion, and I believe that this is an unbelievable time in history. Not only, and just a quick answer maybe if you will, not only should everything we've talked about be applicable for this new administration in Washington, D.C., but these men coming to office with all the people they bring in around them, they're going to make decisions that will affect the future, the prophetic future that God's word calls for.
Well, yes, that's true. And, you know, again, God sovereignly uses them. He raises up kings, puts them down. But he also incorporates our choice and their free choices. And so we want to cooperate with what God is doing and not set ourselves against God and his word and where everything is going in the future, according to the way he's told us it will in his prophetic word.
A great word from David James, our man who has a conversation with me every week, and we discuss issues that the body of Christ need to have a better understanding of, a biblical understanding. David, have a great continuing of your ministry out there in the Philippines, and we'll talk again next week. Looking forward to that conversation as well.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. I look forward to it.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'll take a look at the book. It's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.